This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I've had the joy of meeting some folks who are visiting with us for the very first time today, and we are starting a new practice of greeting one another in this way. So hopefully if you come back next week or in the weeks ahead, you'll know that when I say, this is the day that the Lord has made, we respond with, let us rejoice and be glad in it, straight from the Psalms. It is a joy to be with you, whether you're worshiping with us online or here in the sanctuary. We're especially glad if this is your first Sunday and hope that you feel welcomed in this place and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in our midst. I would encourage everyone to take a moment to register your attendance with us. There are registration pads at the end of each row in the sanctuary. They're being passed down and back again. You can also register with the QR code that's on the back of the bulletin. If you're worshiping online, there's a link there you can place in your browser that'll take you straight to that page. And if you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we encourage you to share an email address with us, a phone number, a mailing address, whatever you're comfortable with, and allow us to reach out to you and begin that conversation with you. A few announcements as we gather this morning. If you are a student in one of our colleges or universities here in the Nashville area, we have a lunch for students every Sunday during the school year. So just outside this sanctuary is what we call the narthex. The group gathers in the narthex and we'll pick a place and walk to lunch together. And it's a gift from the church. So we hope we can feed you both physically and spiritually in that fellowship. I wanted to highlight that next Sunday is going to be a really special Sunday for us as a congregation. First, on Sunday morning, we will welcome Dr. Julian Davis Reed and Tremaine Parker, who will be helping lead worship in our midst on that Sunday. Tremaine has been a resident of Nashville. She was a member of the Fisk Jubilee Singers, and Dr. Reed is a professor of music and theology, and it's going to be a wonderful experience, and I hope that you'll come and bring your friends and neighbors. I did want to let you know that there is a race on Sunday morning, the hot chocolate race, I think. So Elliston Place is going to be closed for part of the morning. If that's usually your path to get to the church, you're going to have to go by West End. But you can still get to church and it won't be too much trouble. But wanted to give you a heads up about that. Also on site Sunday morning during the Sunday School Hour, we'll have Lanisha Rouse, who is an artist. And you can read about both all of these folks in the bulletin this morning, but she will be up teaching us and leading us during the Sunday School Hour in the Fourth Story Theater. Our older elementary fellowship will also be having a bake sale, so don't eat breakfast at home. Plan to buy your baked goods here on Sunday morning. And then at 4:30 in the afternoon at the Woolworth Theater downtown, we are helping to host a Theo Ed event with all of these folks whom I've named and several others. All the information's in the bulletin. We'd love for a great group to show up from West End. If you need a ride, we'll be running the bus from West End to the site, so be sure and RSVP if you need a ride. Then if you would mark your calendars for March 1st, this is our great day of service where everybody is invited, people of all ages can participate. We'll be partnering with Connection United Methodist Church, our neighbors, to help do some work around their launch pad ministry. So be sure and sign up for that, and it'll be a great day to work side by side together. This is the last Sunday of the worship series that we have been walking through since January. Our theme has been, Who's Calling You? And we've been talking about all the different kinds of voices within us, in our world, that try and tell us who we are, or try to tell us who other people are, or who God is. And being reminded again and again each Sunday of who we truly are, God's beloved children. And we have these symbols, which I'll talk about in the sermon, that have been reminding us again that each one of us is called by name and beloved. So with gratitude in our hearts for the love of our unconditionally loving God, let us prepare for worship.
morning. Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Jesus beckons us, come, follow me. Jesus invites all of us to worship and feast at the table. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Great. Gracious and plentiful God, there is room enough for all of us at your table. Forgive us for our times of exclusion and belief. Resist our attempts at determining who gets to come to the party. Surround us in imagination for a new vision of community where all are invited and received in your love. May your mercy permeate everything we do. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Maggie and McGavick Johnson bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Maggie and McGavick, I ask you now on behalf of the church these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your son for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the waters of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay. And what name have you given your son?
William Deal.
William Deal. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you and be your friend and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. And now we're going to move a little bit closer and let Mom and Dad and Big Brother Mac and Miss Tammy all lay a hand on you. And we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. William Deal, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, he's going to go by Deal. So I'm going to take Deal for a little walk. And we're going to get just a little bit closer to your church family. Because these are the faces of your church family, the people who are going to make a promise in just a minute to love you, to teach you about God's love, to help you learn what it looks like to follow Jesus, and to use the gifts God has given you to bless the world. Some of these folks are going to be Sunday school teachers and choir leaders and vacation Bible school helpers, and maybe one of them will be your confirmation mentor. So, Deal, let's listen really carefully as they make their vows to you. We invite you to stand as you're able, and let's make our promises to Deal.
Please open your bulletin to the commendation and welcome and face William Deal. Now, it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. I commend members of the household of God. I commend William Deal to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. If you want to read along, it's page 837 in the Pew Bible. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
grown-ups to be seated here in the sanctuary. And if you children want to come up for a minute and we'll talk together, come on up. And if you're worshiping online today, just get a little closer to your screens, because this is the moment for you. Come on up. I'm so happy to see all of you, and thank you to all of you who sang for us so beautifully. It was a very, very beautiful piece that you sang. And you knew it by heart, which is wonderful. Well, Miss Laura just read a story from the Bible about a day when Jesus was walking through a town and he saw a man named Levi. Can you say that with me? Levi. Yeah, and Levi was a tax collector. Now, I don't have time to explain what all that meant, but one of the things that meant was that people didn't like him very much. He took their money, and sometimes they felt like he took too much, and so people really didn't want to hang around Levi. So he wasn't really often invited into people's homes to have dinner. He probably wasn't very welcome when they gathered to worship God, and the only other friends he had were just other tax collectors. So Jesus was walking by, and he sees this man named Levi, and Jesus notices him, and he says, "Follow me." Jesus chose him, somebody that other people didn't like, and maybe somebody who wasn't so nice to start with. But you know what Levi did? He got up from his tax booth, he left it behind, and he said, "Yes, I will follow you, Jesus." And he became one of Jesus' 12 disciples. So that just reminds me that Jesus calls all different kinds of people, and that when we say we're going to follow Jesus, that means we get to be with all different kinds of people. That's one reason I wore this stole today, because it's just a picture of all different kinds of children from all over the world, and this is kind of what the kingdom of God looks like. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much that you love us and that you have invited us to follow you and to be part of your church. We thank you for loving and calling all different kinds of people. So help us always be loving and welcoming and ready to meet people who are different from us and have different stories, because you work through all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. You're 3, yay, then you get to go. It's okay with me. So I shared at the beginning of the service that this Sunday is the last Sunday of our sermon series, our worship series, that we have entitled, Who's Calling You? And for the past few weeks, we've been looking at different stories, most of them from the Gospel of Luke, to explore this idea of who are the voices that shape us? And how are we called to listen to the voice of God in our lives, above all other voices that are out there? Or in here, trying to tell us our worth, trying to tell us the worth of other people, or trying to tell us how we're supposed to do and be in the world. So very early on in January, we launched this series on the reaffirmation of Baptism Sunday. We spent the second Sunday of January talking all about baptism and Jesus' baptism and how the voice of God spoke to Jesus in the waters of baptism. And the voice of God speaks to us in the waters of baptism, saying to us, "You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." And at the end of that service, those who were here were invited, were given a blue ribbon, and you were invited to write your name on that ribbon and write the word beloved. And you brought them forward and placed them on the altar rails, and then some of our youth were tying them on to this board and tying them on here at the baptismal font. So that throughout this season, We could all see a visual representation of this beloved community that God is creating in our midst. So in the following weeks, we've been looking at different people that Jesus called and some of the resistance they had and the voices they were listening to other than Jesus. Last week, we heard the story of Simon, who heard Jesus call to follow him, but had that internal voice telling him he was a sinner and he wasn't worthy. This morning, we have the story of Levi. And we don't get much of the internal story of Levi. He doesn't say anything in this story. We don't know much about him at all, really. In fact, we're not quite sure who he is. You see, in Matthew's gospel, the same story is told, but the name is not Levi, it's Matthew. So this could be Matthew's story that we're talking about. Or if you hop over to Mark's gospel, he's called Levi, son of Alphaeus. Now, there is one of the 12 disciples named James, son of Alphaeus. So he could be James slash Levi or Matthew slash Levi or some other Levi totally different. But I think, and most of our biblical scholars think, that Levi becomes one of the 12, whatever name he goes by. So this is a really deeply important story. This is someone that Jesus is calling into his innermost circle of instruction and preparation and shaping and transformation. But all we know about Levi is that he was a tax collector. But that tells us a lot. That gives us pretty good information about what Jesus is up to. At this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has begun to gather around him some disciples. All we know of so far at this point in the story are the four fishermen, Simon and his brother Andrew, James and John. Four simple fishermen from Galilee invited to follow Jesus. The next one up is Levi in Luke's account. So what is Jesus up to? How is he building this community around himself? He's breaking all kinds of barriers and expectations. He chooses the last person in the world that anyone would expect the Son of God, the Messiah, to choose to be one of his disciples. Many of you know this already, but tax collectors were despised. In the first century in Palestine, the Jewish people were dominated by the Roman Empire. They were subjects of the Roman Empire. There was an occupying army of Roman soldiers in nearly every village in Judea. And so they lived with these constant reminders of their oppression. And these tax collectors were those who collected money on behalf of Rome. Many of them were Jews, some of them were not. But Levi is a very Jewish name. So Levi is a Jew who is collaborating with the oppressive government to collect money from his own people and give to them. He's participating in the oppression of his own people. Not only that, but he's profiting from it. Tax collectors could charge whatever they wanted above and beyond what was required. So if he needed a little extra money, he could just extort extra money from his neighbors. So you can understand why his neighbors, his kin even, the people in the synagogue, wanted nothing to do with him. Tax collectors were considered sinners of the worst kind, unclean, not welcome in the synagogue. You certainly would not sit down at the table with them. And so here is Jesus walking through this village right by a tax booth and says, "Follow me." It's provocative. And I think it's strategic, because I think what Jesus is doing is building around him a community that is a reflection of the kingdom of God, a new kind of community where everyone is invited, where Jesus is going along the margins to find all of those who don't belong, all of those who are outcast, and bring them on in alongside those who are insiders and always have been. I think he wants those who see him to recognize that God's kingdom is broader and wider and more expansive than anyone could possibly imagine or be comfortable with. And I wonder if we can see ourselves in this story as well. We think about all of the people that Jesus called around him, beyond the 12. Well, let's start with the 12. First, you have the four fishermen. Then you have Levi, who's a tax collector, working in collaboration with the Roman government. Eventually, you get a man named Simon the Zealot, who's a member of the Zealots, the political party that wants to take up violent arms and drive Rome out. So you have a Roman hater and a Roman collaborator, and Jesus gathers them around the table, pulls them together into a community. I wonder what some of their dinners were like at that table. And then you have Nathanael, who was a bit of a skeptic, and Thomas, who was always asking questions, and Philip, who just loved everybody. You just get this great, diverse group of people, and you take it beyond that, and we find in the 8th chapter of Luke this group of women who were following Jesus as well. We have Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus cast out 7 evil spirits, a woman who was likely living on the margins, having brokenness of body, mind, and spirit. And then we have Joanna, who was the wife of Herod's steward. So a woman who's moving in the circles of power in Judea. All of these people gathered around Jesus every day, making their way through Galilee as this motley crew trying to figure it out. If we go beyond Jesus' death and resurrection, well, we get to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit just claims thousands of people speaking different languages from every nation across the Mediterranean world. We get the Apostle Paul, who was a highly educated Pharisee and Roman citizen. We get Philemon, who was enslaved by Onesimus. Lydia, who owned her own cloth dyeing business. All sorts of people being collected and gathered. And some people whom Jesus encountered loved it. Some people got right on board with this expansive, radical grace that Jesus was bringing into the world. Some people were thrilled and celebrated it, like Levi. He gets up from his tax booth. He goes straight home and throws an extravagant banquet in gratitude to Jesus for the love and grace that Jesus saw him. And Jesus invited him to follow and be in relationship with him. And he's so grateful that he invites all his tax collector friends to experience the same kind of grace and being seen that he had experienced. That's evangelism. Look who saw me. Look who loves me. Look who's called me. I want you to meet him too. So Levi was on board from the beginning. But then in this story, we also get the Pharisees, who seem to be standing outside the party. They're close. They're here in the ruckus, but they're not going in. And I don't want to give the Pharisees too hard of a time. So often in the Gospels, they're portrayed in a very two-dimensional way. They're kind of the bad guys. But they're living the life that they thought they were called to live. They thought that to be holy and righteous meant you had to separate yourself from people like that. That you had to keep yourself pure. You wouldn't sit at a table with people like that, or you'd be made unclean. And so they're baffled by what's happening and offended by it, that someone who seems to want to be speaking for God is sitting at a table with tax collectors and sinners. And they just can't embrace it. Some of them do eventually by the end of the story. But here in this moment, this can't be the kingdom of God. And then somewhere in the middle, we have Jesus' disciples. These 4 fishermen who have no idea what they've gotten themselves into. Suddenly, they're standing in this home of a tax collector they never would have associated with before. And I have to wonder if they're uncomfortable, if they're excited, if they're ready to get on board with this kind of grace. And I feel like maybe that's where I am in the story. I want to follow Jesus. I love the grace that he offers to all people. And yet that means I've got to be at the table with whoever Jesus invites to the table. The people who are participating in the oppression of their own people. the people who are considered unsavory and unwelcome in so many other kinds of places, people who are so different from me, whose experiences and stories are hard for me to relate to. How do we live into this new community that Jesus is creating? Because the truth is, if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to sit at his table, we got to sit with everyone else who's taken a seat and who's invited. And if Jesus can call Levi to the table, he can call anybody to the table, including you and including me. But I think Jesus was giving us a sign of the kingdom of God, that this is the new beloved community that God is creating in our world. And my friends, I cannot think of a more powerful message that is needed in our world than this one. That we are all one, that we are all in it together, that we are all beloved children of God, that everybody has a place at the table, and not one place at the table is more privileged than another, because our host is Jesus Christ himself. And as I think about all the different ways that people gather in our culture, I think the church is the only place I can think of, or faith communities are the only places I can think of where you can be in relationship. In fact, you are called to be in relationship with people of all different ages, different class, different ethnicities, different experiences. It's a beautiful thing that God has created in our midst. And so our invitation is to gratefully take our seat at the table, just like Levi, be filled with such gratitude that we want to sit at the banquet table with Jesus, and that we want to go out and invite others who may not know how beloved they are, who may not know yet that they're included. So let us go. Let us be the body of Christ. Let us be evangelists for this beautiful kingdom.
Please rise in body or in spirit and join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin, and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. Virginia Bowden Malloy was born on February 12th to Elizabeth and Casey. She is welcomed also by her grandparents, Leah and Ken Malloy, aunt and uncle Kelsey and Mike Malloy, and cousins Charlotte, Clay, and Griffin Malloy. Patrick and Stephanie Brakefield and their family are mourning the death of Patrick's mother, Carolyn Ross Brakefield, who passed away on February 10th. a memorial service was held on Friday, February 14th, at Nashville First Baptist Church. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
God of abundance, we find you in our tables. Our tables that support our plates and our cups at dinner time. Our tables that hold the forgotten strays of math homework and family game nights. Our tables that were the sites of job applications, college acceptance letters, graduation diplomas, bills, and so many other things. Our tables that cradle and caress our tears, that bear witness to our joy. God, much like our tables, you are part of these pivotal milestones. Whether we spent them surrounded by others or on our own, we know we spent them enveloped in your love. A love that is deep, steadfast, and knows no boundaries. And for this, God, we thank you. We thank you for this love, and we thank you that we are part of it. But God, with this knowledge, we know that we have not been welcoming to all. We have not made a space at your table for everyone who wishes to be a part of it. We have not moved the side, squeezed as tightly as we can, making room for each and every person that wishes to sit at your table. And God, we are keenly aware that tables such as this may have access issues. Some may not feel they can access the table, and some just may not be able to. God, we know that there is no spot of privilege at your table, and remind us to treat it that way. God, allow us to lead through life with the love that you showed, reminding us that no one is above another at your table. God, we know that there is a space for each and every one of us at your table. There is a seat for those of us who are grieving and mourning. There is a space for those of us who are joyous and celebrating. There is a space for those of us who are caretaking and supporting, reflecting your love in that way. There is a space for those of us who are simply holding on, trying to make sense of what is happening and figure out what comes next. God, we are not alone. We are reminded of your love each and every day, and we are reminded of your community that sits around the table with us. We find reminders of this community all the time, but we remember them as our voices join together in a prayer that your Son taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And now, let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God with gratitude and praise. If you're joining us online, there are links on the website in which you can give. And if you're joining us in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the row, and there is a QR code printed in the bulletin if you would rather give digitally. As we pass the plates down the rows, may we remember that God multiplies all of our gifts in beloved community.
Thank you.
my friends, here we are. Our names, our belovedness, tied together in one beautiful, beloved community. Added to these names this week have been five new ones. Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye preached out at Riverbend Maximum Security last Sunday, as she does each month, and five of the gentlemen there wanted to include their names, wanted to be included, and so here they are. You know, we're not perfect, a little lopsided maybe, kind of messy, but that is the kingdom of God that we've been called to be part of. Isn't it beautiful? Let us go forth from this place to invite others to come and bring their names and bring their lives to make our community grow ever more beautiful and ever more strong. Go in peace.